We're learning Tanya, Igeres HaKodesh, page 228, with the numbering system at the top of the page, and we're beginning chapter Yud, chapter 10. So the Alter Rebbe says as follows: Achar Drishas Shlomo, that is a Rosh HaTevis, an abbreviation, Aleph Dalet Shin, which means after seeking your peace, it's a greeting of peace. And it, obviously, as we've said on previous occasions, these are letters. And therefore, he uses letter terminology when he begins the chapter. So he uses terms of greeting and so on. So after this expression of greeting, seeking your peace, the Chaim and life, Pesach Devorai Yoer Ozen Shamas Tochachas Chaim, I open my words to awaken ears that should listen to a rebuke on a matter of life, Asher Ochiach Hashem Chaim Al Yidei Neviyo, that God has rebuked, or possibly you could say proven, the concept of life through his prophet. Va'omar, and he says, Chaste Hashem Kilo Somnu Kilo Cholu Rechamov. The kindnesses of God are such that we have not ceased, for his mercy have never ended. Now that actually is a quote from the Book of Lamentations, from Eicha. It's actually put to a tune.
Right.
The children sing Chaste Hashem Gilas Hamnu. It's a very haunting and beautiful tune. And it appears, interestingly, in the Book of Lamentations. So what does it say? The Alter Rebbe asks immediately a question on this, because grammatically it seems not to fit together so well, because he explains as follows. The words mean Chaste Hashem, the kindnesses of God, are such Kiloi Samnu, that we have not ceased. Yeah? Now the root of the word Samnu is from the word Tam. And Tam means complete.
Right.
Because we are not complete. So the problem is that the word Samnu does not relate back to the word Chaste, to the word kindnesses. As he explains, V'havale loyme kiloi samu. It should have said, they have not ceased. So what the way it ought to, he's saying, this is the way we think it should say, Chaste Hashem kiloi samu. The kindnesses of God, they haven't ceased. Meaning God's kindnesses go on and on and on. He's always bestowing kindness upon us, and he doesn't stop.
Mm.
That seems to be the meaning of it. And yet it doesn't say that. It says, the kindnesses of God are such that we have not ceased.
Right.
But surely we're saying that the kindnesses have not ceased. Yeah? It doesn't seem to fit. That's his question. Kamar Shekosev, like there's another passage which says, Kilo Samach Hasadecha, that your kindnesses, O God, have not ceased. So we do have that concept written elsewhere. That's actually in the Book of Psalms. And we say it at the end of Tachnun. Yeah? In Vanachlan Lo Neda, at the end of Tachnun, every morning. So we already have a concept in the Book of Psalms to say that God's kindnesses never cease. Which stands to reason, because God himself is Ein Sof, is infinite, and therefore all his midos, his attributes, are infinite as well, as we know, and therefore it stands to reason that Chesed, the first of the emotional attributes that God emanates from himself and uses to relate to the world, are also infinite. So it makes sense to say that the kindnesses of God have not ceased. So this compounds the question that the Alter Rebbe is asking in Chaste Hashem Kilo Somna from the Book of Lamentations, Eicha. It seems to be not saying that.
No.
It's saying we haven't ceased. So what does that mean? So now he goes into a lengthy explanation of this, lasts till for the whole chapter of about 3 or 4 pages, and at the end he gives the answer. The answer basically is, it means the kindnesses of God continue to be bestowed upon us, even though lo samnu, we are not perfect. Meaning we don't, because we said the word tam or tomim means perfect. So it's saying that even though we, the Jewish people, are not perfect, therefore we're not deserving of God's kindnesses, nevertheless God continues to give us his kindnesses. So that's how he explains it towards them. In the meantime, he's going into a lengthy explanation. This will be understood according to what's written in the Holy Zohar, Is Chesed, the Is Chesed. There is a kindness and there's another kind of kindness. Yeah, there's one kind of kindness and another. Is Chesed Olam, the Is Chesed Ilah Duhu Rav Chesed. There are two levels of Chesed, and these are called Chesed Olam, which means that Chesed, kindness of the world, and that means that it's a limited kind of kindness. And then there's a higher level of kindness which is called Rav Chesed, great kindness. And he's going to explain. In the knowledge of the fact that the Torah is called Ois, which means strength, which is an expression of severity or strength. Kamosha Amru Chazal, like our rabbis of blessed memory say, Tari Ag Mitzvahs Nehemru L'Moshe Misinah Mipi Agvura, that 613 mitzvahs were said by Moshe Rabbeinu Moses from Mount Sinai, from the mouth of the Holy One, blessed be He, who is called Gevura, because one of God's attributes is strength, so he's called Gevura, which means strength or the strong one. As it's written also in the text of the Chumash, actually in Mazayis HaBrocha, in the last Sedra, Miminoi, from his right hand, Eish Das, a law of fire, a fiery law. Yeah, Eish is fire. Das, yeah, means law, yeah, as in the word Dati, meaning religious.
Yeah.
Someone who keeps religious law. Yeah, Lomo is another way of saying Lohem. Lahem means to them. So it means God gave from his right hand a fiery law to them. To who? The Jewish people. Actually, Rashi over there says that what is this fire that God gave? In what way is a Torah compared to fire? So it says that he gave it as Shchaira al Gaba Eish Levana, as black fire on white fire, which is explained in the commentaries to mean that just like on a Sefer Torah, you have a complete Sefer Torah, right? You have a white background, the parchment is basically white.
Yeah.
And on top of that, you write with black letters,
yeah,
handwritten, of course, on the Sefer Torah. So you've got black on white, which is, of course, normal printing, but basically that's it. Yeah, you can only see the letters if there's a different color. And the only color you're allowed in the Sefer Torah is black.
Black.
So it's black on white. So Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu the letters of the Torah, but in fire.
Yeah.
But in order to show the relief, you've got to have different colors. So you had a black fire and a white fire. And the black fire is superimposed on the white fire, so you could see letters. That's how it's explained over there. Pirsh. But he's not going into that here.
Pirsh. That was only on the third set of tablets.
No, this is referring to the Sefer Torah. The black fire and the white fire is the Sefer Torah, not the tablets.
Right.
The tablets actually was the other way around, that the letters were empty. There was space, because they were drilled right through the stone.
Right.
The Talmud says that the Luchos, the tablets of stone, or the lettering within them, stood by miracle. Right, because they were drilled all the way through.
That's the first set.
Both of them.
But yeah, because Moshe Rabbeinu
As far as I know, they both had. I'm not sure. You've got a good point there. Whether the second Luchas had the same thing.
No.
But basically, if you take a Samach, you know a Samach is almost circular.
Yeah.
So if you like engrave that out of stone.
Yeah.
You'll make almost, let's take a circle. You take a circle and you engrave out a circle.
Yeah.
Cut the stone. Well, if it that does not go through the stone, then of course you'll see a circular shape.
Yeah.
And in the middle, it's the same level as the rest of the stone.
Yeah.
And it's only engraved around. But what happens if you drill this hole all the way through, this circle all the way through?
Right.
What happens to the middle bit?
It'll fall.
And yet it didn't fall. So the rabbis of the Talmud say, Mem v'samach shebelucha is b'nes hayoimdim. The mem, the final mem, which is also a closed space,
yes,
more like a square, and the samach, which is more circular, the middle of them stood with a miracle, because the stone in the middle had nothing to hang on to. That's just by the way. So we see that that was a totally different concept. So when we're talking about black fire and white fire, we're actually talking about the equivalent of a Sefer Torah.
Right.
That's all by the way. So Pirushah Torah Mekarev Shurashu Rak Chaste Hashem. That is the Torah, and its source and its root is the kindness of God alone. Hamachunim b'shem yamin. So that's why it says miyaminoi eishtas. Why is it coming from the right hand? Well, we know in Kabbalistic teachings the right hand is associated with kindness and the left hand is associated with severity or gevurah. So, well, if we know the Torah is severity, is gevurah, where's the kindness? The answer is by God giving it to us. That's the kindness.
The English, in the old days, you associate the left hand and with the devil.
Dextra, yeah, that is true. Dextra means the left hand, and it has a negative connotation. I'm sure it's got, you know, it's coming from the religious side and therefore from the Jewish side as well. It, you know, has a certain negative connotation to it. So, what is the kindness of God? So why does it say Mimino Eishtas? From God's right hand, because God bestowed the Torah on us through kindness. That is the drawing down of godliness, His blessed be He, and an enlightenment or shining forth from the source of light, or from the light of the infinite light of God, blessed be He, Elo Elamos Elyonim V'Tachtonim, to the higher worlds and the lower worlds, Al Yidei HaAdam HaMamshich Ha'or Al Atzmai B'Kim Remach Mitzvos Haseh, through the person who is drawing down light upon himself through keeping the 248 positive commandments, Sheim Remach Evin Demalka, which are described in the Kabbalistic literature as being the 248 limbs of the king. Just like we, in the human body, we're described as having 248 limbs. What are the limbs used for? They're used for doing things which we want to do.
Movement
of one sort or another. Or it could even just be thought. But in any case, you know, most times it's some level of movement or action. Yeah. So how does this happen? This happens because the soul of the person wants to do something.
Right.
And there's a whole system of communication through to the body that goes through the mind, the thought process. And the thought process affects the whole nervous system. And the nervous system is put into gear to send a message down to the muscles of that particular limb to do this particular act. Mm. So if I want to lift my arm, you know, that process was almost instantaneous.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to lift my arm. So the message went in my brain. You know, the brain sort of absorbs the will and transforms the will into a process, a thought process, which then is transmitted through the nervous system to make the actual hand go up. Right? So, just like the limbs of the body express the will of the person who owns that body, so whatever you want to do, it's will that's causing it to happen.
And if you're happy, it's
unless it's an involuntary action. Which the bodies are capable of involuntary actions as well. Like, you know, digestion is taking place whether you like it or not. Mm-hmm. Yeah, unless you have indigestion. But the point is you don't have to tell your stomach and your intestines to digest the food. So that's called involuntary. But we're talking about the voluntary limbs, which most of the external limbs are voluntary limbs. Right? And it's will that's causing these things to happen.
Yeah.
Right? So what are the mitzvahs? Let's analyze what the mitzvahs are. Hashem has given us mitzvahs. What is a mitzvah?
It's a blessing.
It causes blessing. It's not a blessing. It causes blessing.
It's a law.
It's a law, which means
we must observe or and carry out if necessary.
It's an action, to put it in a nutshell.
But
it's something you have to do. It's an action. But so, who has willed this action? Who's willed it that it should be?
Hashem.
Right. He said, put on tefillin. So there's an action which he has willed. Can't you see the analogy between that and the body? The body has a will to lift up the hand. Right? So the will is controlling the body and saying, you know, go through this whole process, which we're totally unconscious of how it actually happens, that from the will comes out the action. It's almost, you know, so fast.
Yeah, but each mitzvah is tied to the body because there's
bones. We need the body in order.
And so many.
Absolutely. So, but it's used as an analogy as well.
Yeah.
It's to help us understand God's relationship with the mitzvahs. So God is the will behind God is the will behind the mitzvahs. And he wants these mitzvahs to be done. So just like a person with his body says, I want to lift up this cup over here, I want this to be done. So Hashem is saying the same thing about a pair of tefillin. And he's saying, I want these tefillin to go on this man's arm. So when I do this mitzvah, it's as if I am harnessing and taking that mechanism for applying God's will through the whole system, the complex system, and I'm the one that's making it actually happen. So we can now see a very strong analogy between the way a person moves their own body and what we're doing when we do a mitzvah. We're enabling Hashem to enact his will. Because without us, it won't happen. If Hashem says, I want a Jewish man to put on tefillin, God doesn't do it by miracles. He's not going to make, you know, like a puppet. You know, make us put on tefillin like a puppet do things.
Yeah.
That would defeat the whole purpose.
Right.
Because we have free will to do it or not. So Hashem is relying upon us to put his will into action. And hence, says the Zohar, the mitzvahs are called Averin de Malka, the limbs of the king. And we're the ones who have the merit to put that into action, to be part of the process of putting Hashem's will into action. It's the most wonderful zuchus, merit that anyone can have. It's like the king of kings. Imagine, I use this analogy quite often, imagine, you know, the queen rings you up. And, you know, the phone goes, and ding, ring, ring, or whatever your tone is that day, yeah, your mobile, whatever tune is going to play. Hello? Is that John? Yes. It's Elizabeth speaking. Elizabeth who? I live in Buckingham Palace.
Regina.
Regina. You go mad. The Queen's on the phone, you know. Yes, madam, what can I do for you? No, please just tell me. I'll run.
Your Majesty.
Well, Your Majesty. You know, and whatever she'll ask you to do, you'll run. I mean, who in the country wouldn't do it? I think the biggest anti-royalists would also run. You know, everyone goes crazy about the Queen, right?
Well, she...
Or most people, anyway.
She's on the phone through Dire Van Providence.
Through what?
Through
Divine Providence, yeah, absolutely. Judaism does believe in the divine right of kings, absolutely. Right.
Well, if you were for the actual succession to the throne, it wasn't direct at all.
That's right. It was an amazing twist of so-called fate.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get back to the point. The point is that anybody that gets such a phone call is going to jump and run.
Yeah.
Now we, the Jewish people, have had that phone call from God. He's basically rung up the Jewish people, and on a personal level he's saying, I want you to do something for me. I want, in the morning, I want you to get up and say my de'ani and wash your hands with Nagel Vassar. You know how to do it? Alternate, yeah? And then you come downstairs and wash Nagel Vassar again and say some brachas and thank him for your new life for that day. And then he says, I want you to go to shul and take your talis, if you wear a talis, if you're a bachur, you don't maybe wear a talis, depending on your custom, and take your tefillin along, and take your siddur, and say these prayers, and I want you to put your tefillin. And this is the phone call from God. We should be every morning jumping for joy at this, you know, the Queen's been on the phone, it's unbelievable. And the truth is, we open the siddur in the morning, and we say, Ashreinu matayv chalkeinu. That's how the siddur, you know, one of the first prayers in the morning, you know, after you said brachas. You remember, yeah? Ashreinu matayv chalkeinu, how happy we are. How goodly is our portion. Hashem's rung us up and asked us to do something for it. So this is what he's saying over here, that Ramach Avin de Malka, we are being the limbs of the king by taking those tefillin and putting them on us. We've bound ourselves up. We're now a channel for that will. Just like, you know, if you want to move your finger, the channel to get that achieved is the arm.
Yeah.
All the messaging had to go from the brain down to the system. You have to go through the arm. And so the arm is the, if this is the aim, is to move that pinky finger.
Yeah.
All the connectors in between the finger and the brain are all
in the arm,
party to the achievement of getting that finger to move. Even though you can't see anything inside your arm. But it's happening. It's inside here that is being made to happen.
Nerve moves.
Yeah, the nerve.
You can see.
The nerve. No, that's your sinews. The nerve impulses are going down the nervous system of the arm, plus the sinews are moving and making the muscles move.
Yeah.
So everything in between, if you put it in merit terms, has the merit to be part of the achievement that finger moved.
Right.
And if it's a great violinist.
Yeah.
You know, Igor Oistrakh was playing, you know, Beethoven's violin concerto, and his fingers moving is, boy, that's real, it's worth thousands of pounds, those fingers moving. Yeah? If at a concert, you know, you get £2,000 for a concert. Those fingers moving is a very important process. So everything in between gets the benefit of it, of the merit. So we, the Jew, who are putting on our tefillin in the morning, or clapping a mezuzah on the door, or putting a penny in the charity bowl, it could be any of the mitzvahs. At that moment, we are a vehicle and part of this long process that gets the thing done that Hashem wants doing. At that moment, that's why it says elsewhere in Tanya, that when someone's doing a mitzvah, you should stand up. Someone else in the room can be doing a mitzvah, a person sitting in the room should stand up. Because at that moment, that person that's doing that mitzvah is a channel for Hashem's presence of His will in that room. So somebody in the other corner of the room can be putting on tefillin. The other person on the other side of the room should stand up. Amazing concept, isn't it? I'm not sure how much this is put into practice in what we see, but it says that
very little.
You stand up before I say mitzvah. A person that's doing a mitzvah, it's like there's an electric current going through him, but instead of being an electric current, it's a God current. There's a current of godliness flowing through him at that moment. It's a most amazing concept.
If the third person's in the room. And they are reciting a bracha, you're not allowed to walk out that room.
There are dinim about when you can walk out and when you can't walk out. Yeah, there are certain dinim. Whether it's about if a private individual is making a bracha, I don't think it applies to that. But with a minion, if there's a minion going on, and they're coming up to Baruch Hu, or they're going to say Kaddish, or Kedusha, yeah, it says in Shulchan Aruch, you're not allowed to walk out. If you know they're going to start any, you know, within a very short time, seconds, you're not allowed to walk out and miss it. You've got to stay and partake of it, participate. Now, what that applies to, Kriyas HaTorah, the reading of the Torah, it says you shouldn't walk out from that as well. But it doesn't apply to everything.
No.
You're right. You can challenge what we've just been saying
about,
because in practice we don't are not forced to stay behind. If that was the case, you know, if you were in shul finished your minion and another minion starts, you'd be stuck there for another half hour because you can't go out because they're doing a mitzvah. It only applies in certain narrow parts of the service.
Sign is, if someone's in a washroom and they are washing their hands and they are reciting the broker.
Yeah.
And then there's no one else in the washroom besides you.
Yeah.
You have got a way for that person to.
I would have to check. There is a great thing about answering homage to somebody's brother. Whether it's enough, whether it's strong enough to actually force you to stay and listen. I'd have to check up on that. I haven't got it at my fingertips. Okay, let's continue with this amazing point. Pirish, Ramach Kalim Ulevushim, we have to finish shortly. Pirish, Ramach Kalim Ulevushim Leha'ara Me'arian Sakbar Okuram Ulevush Behem. That means that the mitzvahs are, all the different kinds of mitzvahs, there are 248 positive mitzvahs, are the Kalim, they are the vessel, they're the channel. Yeah, and the vestment for this current, so to speak, this shining forth of the light of the infinite one, blessed be, which is enclosed in that mitzvah. But as we said, it's the Jew who's doing the mitzvah. A mitzvah doesn't get done impersonally. You know, if it's done impersonally, then it's not a mitzvah. A pair of tefillin, a disembodied pair of tefillin, that's, you know, even if you wind it on a dummy or something, it's not a mitzvah. No mitzvah is being done. It's got to involve a Jew who is doing that mitzvah. So we'll leave this on this absolutely powerful and tremendous point. If you just visualize this idea, that when you put it on your tefillin, or you're putting up a mezuzah, or praying, or learning Torah, or putting a penny in a charity box, at that moment, there is a kind of tremendous current of godliness flowing through your body, in particular that limb that's doing the mitzvah. And it's a powerful thought, and we're becoming the ushpizin de Malka. We're like the host for God's presence at that moment, as if the King of Kings, not as if, it's actually happening, he's coming to stay with us. Okay, for it's a limited period of time. Of course, if a person maintains their thoughts attached to God all the time, that's also a mitzvah. Devekus b'Hashem, cleaving to God in your mind and being conscious of God's presence and feeling of love and awe of God, they're also mitzvahs. That means God's presence is with us all the time, and we're having this current with us all the time. And that is actually the aim. Is b'chol derchecha de'eyu, you should know God in all your ways, even in mundane activities. That should also be in your mind, and even if it's only in the back of your mind, I'm doing this as part of my service of God, even if it's a mundane thing, which is another discussion. But the whole concept of the fact that we become like part of the current, where the circuit through which God is flowing, it's a tremendously powerful concept.